Okay, mastermind, said Giordino, yawning, still tired after the hurried flight from Miami to Dr. Egan's house. How do you plan to open the castle gate?
I punch in the code, answered Pitt, sitting behind the wheel of an old Ford pickup truck they'd rented from a farm appliance dealer.
Do you know it?
No.
Pitt leaned out the car's window and punched a series of buttons.
That will have to do.
And let's suppose you're right and Kanai and his flunkies have compromised the security system and overpowered the guards. What makes you think he's going to open the gate for us?
Because I punched in the name Cerberus for the code.
Giordino rolled his eyes. If I had an ounce of common sense, this is where I'd get out.
They were on the verge of leaving when the huge gate slowly began to swing open.
I do believe we struck a chord, Pitt said, vindicated. He slowed as he came to the vineyard, waiting for the barricade to rise up from the road. It came right on schedule, and a man in a security guard uniform came to the car, clutching an assault rifle across his chest.
Can I help you, gentlemen?
Where's Gus? Asked Pitt innocently.
He called in sick, answered the guard.
His eyes searched the car for weapons, and finding none, he relaxed.
How's his baby girl?
The guard's eyebrows raised fractionally.
Healthy, the last I heard.
He was cut off as Pitt gripped the Colt that was out of sight under his right thigh and swung it across the steering wheel and into the guard's forehead. Almost before the bogus security guard hit the ground, Pitt and Giordino were pulling him through the grapevines into the large tree trunk and down 8 steps to a security surveillance room underground. 20 monitors were mounted against one wall, their cameras sweeping the fields and the interior of the house. Pitt stood transfixed at the sight of Thomas trussed up and Kelly writhing on the floor. Giordino sat down at the console as Pitt found the hired assassin's black clothing, which he had removed when he donned the security guard's uniform. He quickly removed his street clothes and slipped into the black pants and sweater.
Now is as good a time as any to call for reinforcements, Giordino said.
Pitt nodded at one of 3 phones sitting on the counter. Notify the sheriff's department, report the situation, and ask them to send in a SWAT team.
And you? What's your gig?
In this outfit, they'll think I'm one of them, said Pitt. It won't hurt to have a friend inside the house when hell breaks loose.
Crouching below the upper branches of the grapevines, Pitt ran between the rows until the vines ended near the front of the house, separated by a narrow strip of well-mowed lawn. A sudden dash might catch the eye of someone inside, so he moved very slowly across the yard, like a cat stalking a bird. Slowly he turned the knob and cracked the front door. No one was in the foyer, and he slipped inside like a shadow. The living room was entered through an open archway. A clay pot sat on a pedestal beside the archway with a small tropical plant sprouting from it. Pitt used it as cover to peer in. Josh Thomas, with blood trickling down his head from thin cuts on his forehead, ears, and nose, sat slumped and bound in a chair in the center of the room. Pitt recognized Omo Kanai as the pilot of the Red Fokker. Kanai sat in the center of a large leather sofa, casually leaning against one armrest, smoking a cigar. 2 of the Vipers dressed in black stood on opposite sides of the fireplace, weapons at the ready. Another stood beside Thomas, a knife poised above one of his eyes. The 5th Viper was a giant monster who gripped a struggling Kelly by her long hair and held her in the air, her feet inches above the carpet. Pitt said calmly to Kanai,
Tell Fat Boy to let her go.
Kanai looked at Pitt, his eyebrows rising in puzzlement.
What did you say?
I said tell your fat flunky to take his slimy hands off the girl, and he pulled off his ski mask. Guns were swiftly aimed at Pitt's chest.
You!
Kanai muttered in astonishment.
Wait! He shouted. Do not kill him! Not just yet!
No, no, you shouldn't have come!
Kelly gasped through clenched lips.
You'll be next to die, Kanai, said Pitt coldly, if he doesn't release her. Kanai gave Pitt a bemused look.
Oh, really? And who's going to kill me? You?
A SWAT team will be arriving any second. The road is the only way out. You're trapped.
You'll forgive me, Mr. Pitt, if I don't believe you.
Then Kanai gave a brief tilt of his head toward the giant.
Set the lady on her feet, Duffer.
Did I interrupt something when I crashed the party? Pitt asked innocently. Kanai gave him a calculated look.
I was having a friendly discussion with Miss Egan and Mr. Thomas regarding Dr. Egan's work.
The old find the oil formula routine, Pitt said dismissively. How uncreative of you, Kanai. It seems everybody knows the formula but you and your pals at Cerberus.
Kanai's eyes widened marginally.
You may prove to be a blessing in disguise.
He turned to Kelly.
Now then, Miss Egan, you will kindly give me the oil formula, or I will shoot this man in the knees, then the elbows. Then I'll blast off his ears.
Kelly looked at Pitt in anguish. It was the final blow. With Kanai threatening both Pitt and Thomas, she knew she didn't have the fortitude to hold out.
The formula is hidden in my father's laboratory.
Where? Kanai demanded. We've already made a thorough search of it.
She started to answer, but Pitt interrupted.
Don't tell him. Better we all die than give his murderous friends at Cerberus a bonanza they don't deserve.
Enough! Kanai snapped. He removed an automatic from a shoulder holster and aimed the muzzle at Pitt's left knee. It seems Miss Egan has to be persuaded.